All right. Well, I had a conversation with some of our young men in Vanuatu before we left, and they asked if at our church we did one of the things we always kind of start. It's a way of drawing attention and focus, but it's always kind of a fun thing in the morning to see where people are. And they said, oh, you have to try it at Faith Baptist. And I thought, you know, kind of the way that your pastor this morning had a similar thing that I would always go through, and every morning we start with a good morning. And
good morning.
Oh, yeah, see, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Some mornings you start off, you say good morning, and everybody's just like,
amen.
Huh? Yeah. Okay, good morning. You're like, come on, are you guys awake? Are you alive? You know, is it a good morning? I mean, we're here in church. It's good. Sometimes, you know, you say good morning, they look outside and say, I had to walk in the rain. Yeah, it's a good morning still, you know. I had to walk in the sun. You notice that it doesn't matter if you're in Vanuatu, it's the same thing. You know, it's too sunny, it's too hot, it's too dry, it rains, oh, it's too wet, it's too muddy. Or it's a good day. We can choose. We can choose. So, good morning. Second Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to read verse 1 through verse 5 to start. There was a pastor, his name was Palmer Hartzau, if I'm saying that right. He wrote a song while serving at a Baptist church that many of you probably are familiar with. The song says, and I'm not going to try and sing, I'm a joyful noise kind of guy, but it says this, as I am resolved no longer to linger. Probably you recognize this song. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved, he continues to say, to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He has the words of life. And Paul writes in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians this, starting in verse 1, says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for Lord, the songs that challenge us, that point us back to your word. Lord, more than those songs, the challenge is not because of the music or the tune or even the words that are there, but it's the reminder, the pointer back to your words. Lord, I thank you for the hymns that do that. And Lord, I pray today that you would challenge us. Lord, encourage us. Lord, the opportunities are always there. And we heard about some of them in the schedule for the church this morning. And Lord, the opposition's there too. The difficulties are there too. But Lord, you give us so many opportunities every day. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to resolve, Lord, to do what you would have us to do, to be faithful, Lord, with your word. And Lord, I pray that you would use this time, Lord, as we talk a little bit about Vanuatu, as we think of the ministry there, Lord, I pray that it would be a challenge to pray for our people and the struggles that they face, the opposition that they come into, Lord, the need to stand up against the darkness of this world and the custom and the religions and the various beliefs. And Lord, and to show your light, to show your truth. Lord, that's our task around this whole world, right here in our own communities, our own families, our own friends as well. Lord, there's darkness. And Lord, you're the light. Lord, help us to be faithful with your word. Lord, challenge us, encourage us this morning. Use your word, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He has the words of life. See, that's the challenge that I want our young men in Vanuatu, our young women too, to realize that, look, this is their task. This is what we are to be doing with God's word, that we have the truth. And Paul talks about it, and he challenges, saying, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. He says, we have God's word. It's been given to us. And this church is named after God's word. And to make sure that when we're teaching, when we're challenging them, when we're sending them out in Vanuatu, that they're not handling it deceitfully. And that doesn't necessarily mean standing up and actively trying to tell lies, but that they're being what God would have them to be, that they're using His word as God has challenged them to use it, that they're being faithful to the ministry, to the people, to their islands, to the place that God has them. And it's a challenge for me as well when I'm challenging them, because it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to follow, well, other plans. That's why sometimes I think it's great that God gives us accidental ministries, that He opens a door that we weren't even looking at, and He says, what about this? You're so busy looking over there, but hey, this door is open. And to be able to have a heart and a desire to look and say, oh, yeah, all right, and to go where God leads us. There's no greater resolution that we can ever have in our life than that. The challenge in the song says, I am resolved, and who will go with me? And that's basically what Paul was challenging. When Christ Himself challenged His disciples, saying, look, here's your task. This is what I want you to continue to do. Are you going to resolve to go with me? Are you going to continue? Will you be faithful? And it's a good challenge. The song continues, it says, I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. And that's where our foundation is. It's not because of us or our abilities, and that's the thing that, I don't know about you, but for me, that's the biggest hindrance. That sometimes, yeah, but what if? What if I can't answer? What if I don't know? What if I hit a situation that I've never seen before? That happens pretty often in Vanuatu. I'm sure you probably find it happens here sometimes too. And what do? Well, we're taught by the Bible. We're led by the Spirit. We have an opportunity to be able to walk what God's plan is for us if we'll keep those things in mind rather than ourselves. So the first thing I want to look at, it says, I am resolved, and talks about taught by the Bible. And who will go with me? Verse 1 and 2, this is what Paul's talking about in chapter 4. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And that faint is, we don't grow weary, we don't give up, we don't quit, we don't just lay down one day and say, all right, that's enough. And that happens. In the ministry, that happens. You read through the Old Testament about a lot of the prophets, the men that God used, and there's times that they just said, all right, that's it. I'm done. Time to quit. Lord, I've done enough. And for various reasons. Sometimes because they felt that nothing was happening. They weren't getting results. People weren't listening. I'm done. I've tried, but they won't listen. Other times after great victories, says, all right, well, can't top that. Can't do any more. That's it. But for many reasons, they grew weary. They fainted. And Paul says, well, look, we've got a really good reason why we don't faint. One, we have a ministry that God's given to us, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. And on top of that, he says, look, you have this ministry, but you have God's mercy in your life. You have His mercy. We know that. If you're here today and you can say without a doubt, I know that I am saved. I know that Jesus Christ has forgiven my sins. I know. Then you know His mercy. You have His mercy. We continue in that mercy. And if we remember that, we don't faint. We don't give up. We don't grow weary. We don't hit things that we go through and say, well, I didn't do that quite right. That happens. There's been times where I've said things that afterwards I've had to have some of my men come up and say, Pastor, here, this is what people are going to hear when you say that. And it's, ooh, okay, that is not what I planned. And sometimes it's frustrating. It is discouraging sometimes. Sometimes you look at it and say, well, how do we recover from that? Well, mercy. God knows we're not always going to say the right thing. He knows that sometimes we're going to have troubles of communication. He knows that we're not perfect vessels. We have challenges. We have difficulties. We sometimes fail. But we have His mercy in those times as well. Whether it's the victory or whether it's the time where we feel like an absolute failure. God's men felt that way often. We have that mercy. And Paul says, because of that, we don't faint. We don't give up. We have a chance to continue. The hymn says, I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay, taught by the Bible. And one of the strengths there is to make that resolution, that determination to say, now this is what I'm going to do. This is what I will use my life for. This is who I will be for my Savior. That resolution in our life. And one of the main reasons, well, Paul says, and we hear in the hymn, well, it's because of what God's Word says. Sometimes the decision is not, well, because I feel, ooh, careful. Well, somebody said, okay, careful again, but God said. Well, okay, sometimes that's the only reason. Why? God said. That's enough. Yeah, but I, no, God said. But no, God said. Some people, but that's really hard. Well, yeah, but also it's really easy too. Because why? Because God said. You don't understand? That's okay. God said. And we start with that foundation. Why? Because we're taught by the Bible, and it's very clear what God would have us do with our life. That's why, you know, people ask me sometimes, well, when are you going to retire? You know, I don't see a time that any of the disciples, any of the apostles retired. Right. I don't see Paul retiring. Right. Okay. His retirement was, well, when my life is over. Okay, I guess we could call that retirement. Okay. My father-in-law always says, well, yeah, where do you turn in your resignation? If you're in ministry, if God has called you, and Paul says we are in the ministry, by the way, not just, you know, the missionary, not just your pastor, but we, every one of us, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you are in the ministry. Amen. Okay? You can read the chapters that come before. That's not because I said it, because God said it. Okay? We are in the ministry. And so where do you turn in your resignation? Where do you come to the point and says, okay, God, I did my time, time to clock out. Where do you do that? There's no place. So how do we keep from fainting? Well, we remember God has given us every answer, everything that we need. We are taught by the Bible. So verse 1, to Paul, it was a simple thing. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. If you're a Christian, you have the ministry. It's just that. Yeah, but I've only been saved 5 minutes. Yeah, you have a ministry now. You have a testimony to share with someone that's greater than anything anybody else in the world could ever share outside of Jesus Christ. You have a chance to say, I was lost. I was dead. I was just like the world, but I'm saved. And maybe you don't understand it all yet. Maybe you got questions. Maybe your head's still spinning, but you know that. You have a ministry. It starts. You've received mercy. Paul says, look, if you have that mercy, you have a ministry. That's it. Why? God said. It was a simple thing for him. So why? How? Well, because of that one simple thing. If you've received the mercy, you have the ministry. That's it. It's not a matter of saying, well, if I surrender to the ministry, God's already called you to the ministry. Now, you can refuse. You can resolve not to. But that's not going to be God's will in your life. You're going to miss out on so many things. Would it be easier? Sometimes, honestly, yeah, it would be. Is it going to be better? Never. Sometimes the hard things are by far the best things. I mean, you know that. If you've ever taken the easy way out and then regretted it afterwards, you know that easy doesn't necessarily mean better, right? Okay? I mean, if I hadn't gone, There's how many things I would have missed out on of what God is doing. Because we have received mercy, we faint not. Hebrews 12:3 says this, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." So stop and think, all right. When you're thinking about the mercy, and you're thinking about the challenges, and you're thinking about the difficulties, and you're thinking about all the things that God's asked you to do, and you're saying, "But Lord, this is hard. Are you sure? I don't know if I can do that." He says, "Well, just stop and consider what Jesus Christ has done. Consider what he did for you. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied." Because if we forget what he's done, it's easy to get tied up in what we're going through. And, well, we lose perspective. "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Paul says, look, we faint not. Why? Because we've received mercy. Why have we received mercy? Well, because Jesus Christ did go through that contradiction, that challenge. He suffered. He died. He took our sins. So that we didn't have to do something we could never do. And that's to stand before a holy God with, well, our righteousness, which is not righteousness. So we received mercy. And Paul says, look, consider what he's done. When God asks you to do something, when he asks you to witness to someone, when he asks you to take part in an outreach of the church, when he asks you maybe to go someplace like Vanuatu, and sometimes it seems too much. Consider what he's done so that you don't faint, so that you don't grow weary, so that you don't say, "Oh, Lord, this is just too much." It's hard to say that if we're considering what Christ has done. It's really hard. Well, how can this be too much in comparison to what he did for me? It helps us to find perspective in our life. And we need that a lot. It's really easy to get focused on one thing. I do it too. I'm not going to stand up here and say, "Well, that's not me." Yeah, I do too. You get focused on one thing, you dwell on it, and sometimes it just gets bigger and bigger, and you get to the point where it's just, you know, it's too much. Well, consider our Savior. Consider what he's done. Yeah, okay, so it's not that big of a thing. All right, Lord, yeah, okay. If you could do that, then you could help me through this. Verse 2, Paul continues back in 2 Corinthians 4, says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Resolve not just to go, not just to follow, but resolve to reject some things too. See, when you go, you have to let go of some things. Anytime you pick one thing up, you got to let go of something else. Have you heard the story of the dog with two bones? It's a favorite one in Vanuatu. I won't go through all the details, but the essence of the story is this. There's a dog that has a bone, and it's the best bone in the world. The dog loves that bone. There's no better bone possible. He goes everywhere with that bone until one day he comes up to a side of water, to a riverside or a lake that's nice and clear. And he comes up, and he is happy. He's enjoying his bone, and he looks down, and, ooh, there's another dog with a bone that looks really nice. And the story, you can kind of get the idea. He eventually keeps thinking about that other bone, and to be able to pick up that bone, he's got to let go of what's in his mouth. Now, that's obviously a negative example of it. Be careful of the things you let go of. Paul says, consider what Christ has done for you so you don't let go of those things, so we don't faint on those things. Okay? Trust me, whatever you're looking at that you think is better, it's an illusion. Yeah. Don't let go of that to pick that up. But on the flip side of that, the idea is there to pick up something else, you got to let go of something too. And so if God calls you and says, "Hey, look, I've got something for you to do," sometimes we've got to let go of something to be able to pick that up, to be able to do it. And Paul's talking about that here. He's saying, look, there's things that we should have already renounced. This is past tense that he's talking about. It says things you should have already renounced, the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. He says, and what you should do by the manifestation, by making it clear and obvious of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He talks about those things that sometimes hold us down, the burdens that are mentioned in Hebrews, those sins that beset us. the things that sometimes are not even sins, per se, but they're filling up our hands. Right. And you can't pick something else up if that's in your hand. Okay? Those of you that know our testimony for Vanuatu, I had a couple things in my hand, and I thought they were good things. Lord, I want to go someplace that's cold. I was holding on to that one. Someplace, Europe would be good. Rains a lot. I'm used to that. There's castles. Yeah, that'd be good. Okay. I had heard a missionary that was up in northern Russia, in Siberia. Yeah, okay. That's cold. I could do that. I was holding on to these things. And someplace that has technology, ooh, that would be really nice, Lord. How about that? I'd heard missionaries to Japan. Japan would be nice. It's fairly moderate. It's even an island. It's got technology. Not the things God wanted me to hold on to. Instead, he said, how about Vanuatu? It's not cold. Technology? Not so much. He had to let go of a few things. And I am so glad that I did. I couldn't imagine if I had chosen them over what God had for me. And sometimes we do have things that we need to let go of, to resolve to reject. Sometimes they are secret sins and shames, things that we're holding on to. Lord, can't use me. Yeah, I know Pastor asked me, he mentioned this, but I can't do that. They don't know who I really am. And we hold these things, and sometimes those things hold us back. Yeah, not me. Not me. And there are things that we sometimes don't even voice to others. He says, look, let go of those things. Remember that mercy? We've received mercy for those things too. Okay? Forgiveness covers all. Let go of those things. Think of what Christ has done for you. What he did was enough. He didn't come short. He didn't forget those secret things. Okay? Those things too. Don't hold God's word with a false heart. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He says, it's better to live like the devil. So, whoa. What? Yeah, a preacher stood up and said, it's better to live like the devil than what? Well, he said this. He says, it's better to live like the devil than to be a preacher playing with God's word. He's not saying it's good to live like the devil, okay? He's saying, but it's better than be a preacher that's playing with God's word. Because at least you're being honest. All right? Look, he says, hold on to God's word. That's your foundation. That's your truth. That's your strength. That's your message. That's all of it. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not whether I'm good enough. I'm not. Okay? I'll let you decide for yourself, but I'm not. I'll say that. But God's word is. When I go to Vanuatu, people ask questions. I can't answer some of those questions. They're hard. You get questions that I wasn't prepared ever to answer. This last time in Tana, one of the men sat down with me and he starts asking me questions. Is it okay for people to go to the witch doctors, the Kleva, and for them to give gifts and to pay him to pray to the spirits, to the devils, so that they will bring rain? I didn't get taught how to answer that one in Bible college. The answer is pretty clear in God's word, though. Amen. It's really simple with God's word. Well, no, here's why. Okay? The man that was asking the question was the clever. So, you're sitting down next to him thinking, I'm sitting next down to this guy. He's the clever. He's the witch doctor. And I'll be honest, for a fraction of a second, you wonder, should I maybe hold back? Should I maybe find a nice way to say, no. That would not be truthful to God's word. You tell it in love, yes, but man, you tell it true. No, it's not. Well, why? Okay. Well, who are you praying to? You're praying to the devils in Bislama. How could you say that's of God? And you have God's word. For us, you're going to find things people ask and you're not going to have a clue how to answer it. So hold on to God's word because the answer's there. And if you don't know, that's okay. It's in God's word. And if you have to tell them, I don't know, that's okay. You know where to go find the answer. So go find the answer, bring it back to them and say, hey, this is what God said. Don't hold it with a false heart. That's why Spurgeon said what he said. Paul says, by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. The manifestation, our job is simply to take God's word, his light, and to shine his light. It's not to be the light in our own selves. I'm not light by myself. Okay? If I try to shine, there's no light there on me only. But God's word, well, there's a light stronger than any darkness. So, when you're worried about it, say, yeah, maybe my light's not strong enough. It's not. Well, my light's not bright enough. It's not supposed to be. God's word is the light, so make it manifest. Allow God to do what only he can do. And that will speak to the conscience of men. That will make differences where you never could. You can't change somebody's heart. You might change their mind, but God changes the heart. And this is what Paul's saying. So he says, look, this is your ministry, taught by the Bible. And the song says, and who will go with me? Who will go with me? As we continue down, verse 3, Paul says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. There's a strong challenge. He says, look, make it manifest. Show it out. Make it clear. Shine that light of God's word. He says, but if you choose to hide it, understand what you're doing. If you choose to hide it, it says, if our gospel be hid, what's our gospel? Well, it's what Christ endured for us. It's that mercy that we had, right? It's the power of God's word to be able to say, I know without a shadow of a doubt, my sins are forgiven. Not because I felt it, not because some man told me, but because God said. It says, but if we hide that, it's hid to them that are lost. And he challenges. And he says, well, who are those that are lost? It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. It's them that believe not. It's those that are blinded, that are in darkness. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So yeah, if you stand up and start shining the gospel, you will have opposition. And I don't know what opposition you had faced last time, but you'll face it sometimes. Okay? If the devil's not fighting you, you got to ask, well, what are you doing? If he's happy to leave you alone and say, oh, okay, no, they're not a problem. Just leave them alone. Don't want to change what they're doing. Maybe ask, well, what am I doing? Okay? He doesn't want that light to shine. He likes people to stay in their darkness, blinded. In verse 5, Paul continues, says, for we preach not ourselves. Again, it's not us. God never asked you to stand up and preach you, because you're not enough. I'm not enough. And so he said, what? But Jesus Christ the Lord, he is enough. And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. Who are we? We're just a messenger. We're just someone to open God's word and said, here's the light. Here's the truth. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ and what he did in my life and what he wants to do in your life. It's not us that we're preaching. At least it better not be. That's holding the word of God deceitfully. We're preaching him. The song says, I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit. See, we are to walk in the light of God's power, never our own. Preach not ourselves. Another man, A.W. Tozer, he said this. He says, I'm not afraid of the devil. Whoa, again, what is he saying? He says, I'm not afraid of the devil. He says, well, the devil can handle me. I can't stand against him. The devil can handle me. He's got judo I've never heard of. But he can't handle the one to whom I'm joined. He can't handle to the one whom I'm united. He says, yeah, me? The devil can handle me without a problem. I couldn't stand against him for a fraction of a second. But my Savior, oh, he can't handle him. And see, this is going in his power, not in ours. Some of the things that God's allowed us to do in Vanuatu, if it was me, would have been an absolute disaster. Would have been horrible. Okay? And my prayer all the time is, Lord, don't let it be me. Because if it's me, this is going to be horrible. This is going to be a waste. I can't stand. And so when you go, if you look at it and say, well, it can't be me, then pray and ask God to say, Lord, don't let it be me. Lord, let him see you. Okay? It's that mercy. Remember, consider what he's done. The word is Christ. The sacrifice, it's his alone. Salvation is through Christ alone. The gospel is of Jesus Christ alone. There is no other name. The power, then, to go and the message must be of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ alone. It's him. He's the light. Now, his light shines through us. We reflect his light, but we're not the light. We're not supposed to be. It's really easy to put out our light. Okay? But his? Well, as Tauzer said, the devil can't handle him. And you see victory through the power of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you go with me back just a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 down through verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, who then is Paul? It's a good question. If we were to ask that, who's Paul? Well, the greatest missionary ever to live. Who is Paul? He was a powerful preacher. Who is Paul? Well, Paul had different answers every time for that. Okay? And we won't go through all of those, but Paul had a very different answer. He said, who am I? Chief of sinners. Who am I? Worm. Who am I? There's no strength, there's no power in my preaching. So who's Paul? Well, he asked this question. He says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers, those servants we were talking about. Remember, we have that ministry? Ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Not because of them, but because of what Jesus Christ has done, as the Lord gave. Paul continues to say down in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God did it. Not us. We're just servants. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So because of that, I'm nothing. And Paul's saying, who's Paul? Nothing. Who's Apollos? Nothing. That's okay. Because my Savior is everything. And he gives the increase. He gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. He's saying, not that God discounts us as saying, well, you're worthless. That's not it. But he's saying, look, it's not up to you. It's not based on you. It's not your strength. It's not your power. But if you're faithful with what I've given to you, with that mercy, with my word, I will reward you for your faithfulness, for your service. He says, but remember, it's not of you. To his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Be careful what we're building. Why? Well, he says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the answer. He's the foundation. And if it's built any other way, well, that's the wood, hay, and stubble. We won't go through all of the entire chapter. The things that there's no merit in them, they're of us. So resolve to stand, resolve to go, resolve to reveal, to manifest what God has shown to us. Anything else, it obfuscates, it hides, it's that darkness. The power of the light of God, that's the only way that people will ever see. The hope for Vanuatu is not anything that I could preach. It's not in me, it's in God's word. When I'm gone, they're not going to remember me. At least I hope it's not me that they remember. I hope they remember what God said, what God's words are. Because those things last. Me? I may come and there may be people because it's the first time. There's this new guy that's coming. Who's he? All right. But they're going to get bored with me if it's just me. There'll be another guy that comes. They'll go and look at him. If it's God's word, though, you never reach the end of it. It doesn't fall short. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you look just a little bit above, so 1 Corinthians chapter 3 up to verse 3, Paul says, oh, that's my page turned on me. Let me get back. That was Romans. That wouldn't help us so much. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who is Paul? And this is where he starts. Who is Apollos? But ministers. And the problem was that the church had some things it had to let go of. Say, all right, let's stop following a man. Let's start following God. Let's stop basing it on who's our favorite. Well, I like him better. Or no, let's start basing it on what God said, and that alone. Let's show God's word. And then last today, and I am trying to look at the time. I'm out of practice with these clocks. I am resolved. All right. Verse 6, verse 7 back in 2 Corinthians. To walk the heavenly way, the song says. And who will go with me? To walk the heavenly way. Well, what does that mean? If we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, down to verse 6, it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Remember, he told us we are to help those that are in darkness, those that are blinded, not through our abilities, but through that mercy that we have, through the very word of God. We're to help them see. And then he tells us, well, how is that even possible? Well, he tells us, verse 6, for God, not for us, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Who has given us a light? God that created light. God who is light. So how are we supposed to show light? Well, I think God who is light and created light and spoke, and every light that ever has existed in creation is because of his power, his might, his hand holding. Well, I think he knows how to shine light. Okay? He's got some practice. Okay, can you create light? I can turn on a torch. You're not creating the light. What are you doing? You're using energy. You're using the power. Well, how's the power getting the battery? You follow the chain all the way back. It's not us. We didn't create it. Okay? We can shine light, but it's not our power. And so Paul says, remember this. It's of God. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If we've seen that mercy, if we consider what Jesus Christ has done, you've seen the light face to face. You can shine that light. All right, you remember Moses, when he spoke with God? He didn't see God face to face, but even then, the law, which, well, we have mercy, was enough that his face shone. People knew he had been with God. How much more should we shine if we've been with Jesus Christ? If we've seen him. The disciples, they looked at him and said, look, who are these guys? But we can see they've been with Christ. It's shown in them. And Paul's saying, this is it. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, but we have this treasure. We just looked at the treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. Yeah, we're an earthen vessel. What is that? No, an earthen vessel, it's not pretty. It's not very strong. It's just something you can use. It's got a task. It's got a purpose. Okay? It's not worthless. But it's not what shines. It's not what the treasure is. It's what it holds. It's what it pours out. And Paul's saying, look, we need to know it's not of us. It's never supposed to be. It's of God. Well, how could I? Because it's of God. Like I said, if somebody would have told me, you know, you're going to have a chance to go to Vanuatu, is it not even possible? There's no way. There still isn't any way if it was me. But God can. And the song says, I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. And blindness? Well, not now. Darkness? No, he can run out the darkness and bring light to the darkest of hearts, the darkest of places. A heavenly treasure in our earthly body, an earthly, earthen vessel. Imperfect, but the treasure of God, his light, to hold God's word, not dishonestly, but to hold it with honor and respect, to show this is what God has said, that is a treasure in earthen hands. And that can shine, that can make all the difference. Go to Acts 26 with me. Acts 26, and we'll finish here shortly. Acts 26. Even though your pastor said I can keep going, so maybe a couple more hours. No, no, we won't do that. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Acts 26, verse 18. It says to open their eyes. Sounds kind of familiar, right? To open their eyes, those who were blinded, we just looked at, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Remember, Paul said it was those that are in darkness or those that have not believed. Well, here's the answer. Here's the task. That ministry that Paul said, what's that ministry that God's given to us because we've received mercy? Well, this is it. To be that light, to shine it to those that are in darkness that have not believed. Okay, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. There's our answer. It's God's work from the very beginning. Don't pick it up and try and make it yours. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear and say, yeah, you can't do it. That's okay. That's fine. I know I can't. I'm not supposed to. But my God can. How do I know? He proved it. He proved it in my life first. Paul said often, if God could save a man like me, a blasphemer, a persecutor, if God could save a man like me, the chief of sinners, well, there's hope for every man. Every one of us could say that. Well, if God could save a man like me, well, there's hope for every one of us. I was not the prime candidate to be a missionary. When I went to Bible college, I wasn't the kind of guy you looked at and said, wow, he's going to go far. I was the kind of guy that you looked at and said, why is he even here? In fact, the dean of men thought I was trespassing. No joke. I was not prepared. I had a lot of growing to do still. First words out of his mouth, he looked at me and he said, finding out I wasn't trespassing, that I was a student, it was cut your hair, shave your face, take out the earring, down the hall on the left. I asked where my dorm room was. So that day I did all three of those things. Amen. I still had a lot to grow. It's easy to cut your hair. It's easy to shave your face. It's easy to take out an earring. And the rest of it, well, God needed to do that. Okay. But even there, God was able to use me. He sees what we don't. If you don't see it, that's okay. Maybe everybody else looks and says, I don't know about them. Yeah, if God says, hey, them, all right, an earthen vessel. It's not about them anyways. So let God do what God can do. It's his work. And Luke 1 says this, verse 78, 79 says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. This is the purpose. This was his work. Okay? To guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, who's he talking about there? Maybe I won't ask anyone. We'll leave that as a rhetorical question. Luke 1, who's he talking about? Well, this is talking about John the Baptist. Okay? What was John's purpose? To prepare the way for Jesus Christ. To shine, not his light, but to say, look, the light is coming. Get ready. To make people ready for Christ. And as soon as Jesus Christ came, his very first thing was, okay, time for me to diminish, to decrease, time for him to increase. He's the light, not me. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. John got it. It wasn't him. It was Jesus Christ. To shine that light. To think of that again. That talking about John at his birth. To give light to them that sit in darkness in the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Why? He pointed them to Jesus. He says, I can't do that. I can't give you life. I can't give you light. I can't fix all the problems, but I know who can. Get ready for him. And when he was there, he said, that's him. Go follow him. That's our job. That's it. Not to answer all the questions of life and say, oh yeah, I know how to fix it. We don't. Okay? But we can say, I know who does.
Yeah.
So don't follow me. Go follow him. Okay? He's the light. Don't look at me. Go look at him. He's the one. That's all God's asking us to do. Whether he's asking you to go out and talk to somebody next door, whether he's asking you to talk to a workmate, a friend, or he's asking you to go stand on the top of a volcano. That's all you're doing. You're standing up there saying, look, it's not me. I'm sitting here, you know, half terrified, half in awe, half, you know, excited. I don't know what to feel. It's not me. I don't have a clue. But Go follow him. He's your light. In the best and in the hardest, it's the same answer. The song says to guide our feet, to walk the heavenly way. Not just us. One last verse and then we'll finish. Turn with me to Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 21 to 23. Luke 14, verse 21. It says this, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, I know that Christ is talking here, and this is specifically to Israel, but we've got a lesson we can learn in this. All right? The job's not done. There's people still that need salvation. If you don't believe that, well, just, you know, look around us. Okay. After having been out for a long time, as last time we were here, it was COVID and most people were hiding and they were away. It's changed a little bit. Okay. It's obvious in our world that people still need Christ. It's obvious that there are still people that are blinded. It's obvious that there are still people that don't see, that don't believe, that don't know, that have no hope in this world. It's obvious that there's still a need. It's not done. And I can guarantee you that heaven's not full. God's not going to go through and say, oh, wait, no, sorry. Too many people. Not a space for, if you would have just 10 minutes earlier, you know, Joe beat you. You know, he's not going to do that. It's not a reservation. There's not a limited number. So why do we hesitate sometimes? The biggest thing that challenged me when God got a hold of my heart about missions was just a little pamphlet that at the end it was talking about all the places in the world that they didn't have a missionary. Places that had no one preaching the gospel. Now, Vanuatu was not on that list, but it could have been. And then at the end, the question was, well, it's obvious that there's a need. We can't dispute that. So why not you? It's obvious someone needs to go. And the challenge was just simple. Why not you? The challenge of the song, who will go with me? Not because I'm somebody you should follow. Please don't. Okay? But I know who you should. So go follow him. Why not you? It's based in God's word and who he is, not in who you are. So why not you? There is a need, guaranteed. We see the need. Nobody here would dispute that and say, well, there's not a need. No, I think, you know, everything's perfect. And we live in Washington. There's no need at all in our state. I don't think we'd be saying that, right? We look around and we say, oh, there's a need. We complain about it sometimes. We look at it, oh, man. Okay, so there's a need. So what's the answer to that need? The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is God's word. The answer is a light to those that are blind, that are in darkness, those that, well, Satan doesn't want them to see. So what do we do? Well, someone's got to go and shine the light to them. Someone's got to open God's word and say, hey, did you know? So why not us? We're an earthen vessel, so we fit the qualification. So why not us? Why not us? To be resolved to reach. It says to walk the heavenly way. Paul says you have a ministry because you've received the mercy. So don't faint. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't say it's too hard. Just go in his strength, in his ability. Cry out to those that are still in darkness in this world. They're in darkness because they haven't believed. That's what Paul said. Well, how are they going to believe? You go to Romans 10, he makes it very clear. There's one way that they're going to believe. And it needs someone with feet. We all qualify for that. Okay, even if they're, you know, mismatched a little bit. We all qualify. So go use those feet. Why not me? Why not me? Today, if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you don't know this mercy that we're talking about, if you're still struggling, if you have no hope, if you're still in darkness and maybe you've hidden it inside and you put on a good face, but down you know, I don't get this mercy. I don't have hope. All I see is darkness. There is hope in Jesus Christ. He is the answer. It's not me. It's Him. And that's a really good thing. I would challenge you too to consider what He's done for you. That He died on the cross for you. Why? Not because He sinned, but because you did. He took your sins. He paid the price for your sins. He died in your place. Why? For one purpose only, to give you an opportunity to see the light, to find hope, to know mercy, to be able to walk in the heavenly way. And who will go with me? The last part of the song says, I will hasten to Him. Hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. Hasten means fast, no hesitation. I'll hasten to Him. I am resolved. Today, if you have a need, get resolved. Today, if you don't know Christ, hasten to Him. Don't hesitate. He's the answer. Ask what you want to your pastor, to me. We can't answer it, but we know who can. He is the answer to whatever it is that you're facing. And the people in the world around us, yeah, maybe you can't answer their need, but He is the answer to theirs too. If you're saved, you know that. Go help them know it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this church. Lord, I thank You for their heart. Lord, their desire to see the world reached. Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, continue to work. When an opportunity presents itself, encourage them, strengthen them, Lord, that they would not faint. Lord, help them to remember, each of us, Lord, and our people in Vanuatu just as much, Lord, what You've done for them. Lord, the task seems overwhelming sometimes. The darkness seems too great sometimes. Sometimes we just feel like giving up and saying, Lord, just take me home. Lord, there's still one more that needs to hear. Lord, one more in darkness that You want to show the light to. So Lord, help us to resolve to be that light for You. Lord, to step out in the ministry, wherever it is, to whoever it is that You have for us. Lord, to stand with Your word and say, I know who has the answer. And point them to You. Lord, use these earthen vessels. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.